Gway, hello. Welcome back to another episode of Spilling Labrador Tea Under Cedar Trees with Kate and Mads.
Hello. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Friday night.
Friday night. And the vibe is chill.
Yeah, it's pretty cozy.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm in my pink pajamas.
I am cuddled up with a heating pad.
The French music is on.
We got candles. We got the electric fireplace going.
We have hot chocolate.
Hot chocolate and each other.
Yeah.
Hold me.
Shut up.
We are not doing a regular episode today. What do we consider regular?
Exactly.
We're not covering colonialism today.
No, we're taking a break.
We're going to do a fun episode.
We are.
I mean, we might cry, but it's fine.
That's all right. It's a safe space.
We have this fun thing going where we started doing it and then we're like, we should record this.
Yeah, we've been at this for like an hour and then we started using our podcasting voices. Maybe we should just get the microphones.
This is our lives now, people. So basically it's a I'm so sorry, it's not close enough to my face. We're doing 100 questions. I think we've gotten through 20?
Yeah, give or take
20 questions already, and they've been fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously we might skip a few depending on what the question is.
Absolutely.
We'll keep this family appropriate
and also just like an air of mystery.
Yeah. They'll never know the real us. Okay, but I had a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, no, that one's too emotional. I'll save that one for later. It had to do with poetry.
Oh
yeah,
yowza.
All right,
you can find my poetry though on Canadian Roots Exchange in their first journal, and also at the ICN to poetry on international development.
That's dope.
Yeah, that was a good time. Do you have a good one? I have a good one.
This is too hot. What's yours?
Okay, like, I already know your answer to this one.
Oh
yeah, I literally feel like ba-ba-ba, ba-da-ba.
They're big cards.
They're huge cards.
They're so big.
What work of literature or art has directly influenced your life?
How dare you, for
I
one.
Know, I know this one, that. Everybody. I know it.
Which is funny, because you think it's going to be one, but it's actually going to be the other.
Oh, really?
It was hard. There's more than one. Obviously, Pride and Prejudice is up there, but that's not my answer. I'm just putting it out there because that's the one Caitlin is thinking.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I do. I do love myself a good Pride and Prejudice.
Mr. Darcy.
Yeah, Mr. Darcy. But no, I would have to say Wuthering Heights.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Heathcliff?
Heathcliff. Like, it's just one of those things where, like, I had read so many books where, like, the love story goes one specific way.
Right.
And then Wuthering Heights just came and, like, punched me in the face. That and Jane Eyre, but, like, really punched me in the face. And somehow I was like, do I want a man to come and take my lover's hair out of a locket and put his own in? Like, is that what I want? Is that what I want? No. But Heathcliff, if you're out there.
Just punched me in the face.
Punched me in the face. And I went, what is happening?
Also, I'm really impressed with myself that I can name them.
I'm proud of you.
Thanks. Yeah.
But, like, they're classics, so.
I know. Like, you better name them.
Petunia, get down!
Petunia.
Get down.
Get down.
Get down. Get off the. There we go.
Okay.
What's yours?
Mine. This is a difficult one.
Is it the Melted Clocks again?
I love the Melted Clocks and the Scream. I feel it on the inside.
Starry, Starry Night.
Oh, I love Starry Night. Well, immediately I went to books instead of art.
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
I don't know. I really enjoy The Picture of Dorian Gray.
You do really enjoy that one.
I do.
Whenever we talked about classics, you were like, ah, I've read a classic.
This is my classic.
Read a couple. Me filling up the bookshelf being like, classic, classic, classic. And you're like, I have Dorian Gray. Flips it in. Great.
It's my contribution.
That is a good book, though.
It is a good book. There's a lot of good lessons in it. Like, mm-hmm. You just, like, at the end of the day, you can't believe your own hype.
God, no.
Yeah. Then that's how you become toxic.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's not get into pop culture right now. all right. I've got an interesting one.
Okay.
Okay. It says, what truth do you think there is in Philip Larkin's famous lines, they fuck you up? your mom and dad, they may not mean to, but they do.
Oh, damn.
I just really enjoy that the recording is picking up the French music in the background.
I love that. I'm glad. It's the ambiance.
Ambiance.
I think what he means by that is, like, your parents do what they can, what they have available to them.
Mm-hmm.
The best they can, what they have, the tools they have available to them. and, you know, that doesn't always work for a kid. It might work for one kid, but it doesn't work for the other.
Yeah. True. Yeah. Well, that's a thing, right? Is I feel like there's not enough, like, especially for we're 60 scoop survivors, and so, or second generation. Wow, I'm the problem. And basically, it's like that. There's like that. There was a disconnect at one point, and like parenting styles have changed mm-hmm. a lot over the years, and what is necessary for like healthy development is also been changing over the years as well.
Mm-hmm.
So like what was once seen as like an appropriate way of raising your children and parenting has changed, and I feel like that happens with every generation, mm-hmm. right? Is like there's like an acknowledgement of one thing that was not inappropriate but like wasn't the correct way, mm-hmm. and so that messed up that generation, and mm-hmm. so then like they're trying to learn from those mistakes. I don't need to get it any closer. And therefore, like, then, like, it just kind of, it's like a, I won't say a snowball effect, but there's always something that, like, a generation will do incorrectly. I can only imagine what this next generation is going to say did wrong. Like,
oh, absolutely.
I imagine it's going to be like, you let me watch too much TV and stuff. So I do see that there is truth, like, as well,
mm-hmm.
in the same way of being like, every child's different, every generation's different, and this is something you learn as you go. And so, like, parents may not have it right off the bat,
mm-hmm.
but the important part is when they acknowledge, like, being like, oh, like, I could have done this differently,
mm-hmm.
And not beating themselves up for that,
mm-hmm.
and just acknowledging it, accepting that that happened, like having that conversation peace with your child,
mm-hmm.
And then like going from there.
Yeah.
Right. And not just being like, I was a horrible parent. I mean, like, it's worse when you don't acknowledge if you've done something wrong.
Yeah.
Or if your child says that you've done something wrong. Because, yeah. like, you may think it's okay, but in your child's eyes, it isn't.
Yep.
So, ugh.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting one.
Being open.
Yeah. Communication.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Oh, we have to grab other cards.
I have one.
Oh, my God. You're fast.
I am fast. Okay, this is fun.
Yep.
This reminds me of like the meme of like the pot on the stove, and it's like when you have like chocolate in it, noodles in it, and it's like when it's your birthday party, you bring all of your friend groups together.
Oh my God.
This is what this card is.
Oh no.
What two people from different parts of your life might you be reluctant to bring together, and why?
Oh boy. This is appropriate to say on the podcast. Part of this is like somewhat unavoidable. But I would just say like my biological parents, either one of them,
mm-hmm.
and said person of interest.
Yeah.
I'm terrified. No? I really don't.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting how people like come in and out of your life,
mm-hmm.
right? And so like obviously like my best friend from high school mm-hmm. totally is everywhere all the time, and it integrates really well with mm-hmm. like people now.
Yeah.
So, like, no reluctancy bringing Carly anywhere.
Yeah.
I think definitely some certain cousins, though. I think everybody has that cousin that you're like, do I bring you? Are you going to cause a problem?
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody has that one cousin.
Mm-hmm.
So I love you all, and I know probably none of my cousins listen to my podcast, so it's fine.
Right? I was like, my parents don't listen. It's
okay. So I'd say one of my cousins.
Okay.
And just the friend group now. Bringing my cousin into the friend group, I think, would be strange.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I have met...
most of my cousins.
Yeah, I was like, I've met a handful of your cousins. Yeah. So for me, it wouldn't be too weird. You're like, hey, do you remember me?
But yeah, I guess like those friends I had from like early childhood. Mm-hmm. That we all grew up together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. A bit of a sappier one, I guess. Mm. Is there anyone you regret losing touch with?
Anybody I regret losing touch with? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know what? I haven't completely lost touch, but like definitely like spotty.
Yeah.
And I definitely take full responsibility for that.
Yeah.
My roommates from Katimovic. Mm-hmm. Like we were so close.
Yeah.
And I feel really bad that I'm not more present.
Yeah. I just take up so much of your time.
You're demanding. Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. You're my manager. I don't know.
That doesn't work.
You're my boss.
I just give you so much work to do.
You do.
Yeah. They're all sweet people, too.
I love them so much.
I mean, we did see Tommy recently.
We did see Tommy. I would love to go back to Montreal and mm-hmm. see, like, Odile and stuff.
Yeah.
And Toronto. We just miss Vicky. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, yeah. Folks are busy now. And Lauren sent me, like, a Christmas card last year.
Yeah.
Aww. If you listen to my podcast, I love you all. I miss you all.
Please take her. for me, I'm not entirely sure. I think my friends from IFS, for sure. I like still occasionally like run into them. We might send each other a message occasionally, but it's not like it was. And I had like a couple of really, really good friends from there. And there's often times where I'm like, I would love to reach out and talk, especially to my one friend Amanda, just because like, oh, we had like really good conversations, and like she was just very wise, and like especially when like I was going through a really hard time, it would have been great to talk to her about a lot of things. And but at the same time, I was like, you know, has a family and like is very, very busy. And so I was like, and at the time I was like, I don't want to put my problems on a whole bunch of people. So we lost touch over the years, but at least like still there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I feel like it wouldn't be that hard for me to reach back out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's so nice.
Mm-hmm. Love her.
Mm-hmm. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
This one's also a sappy one.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Aww.
What is the kindest thing anyone's done for you?
It's done for me?
Mm.
Oh, man. I've been very blessed in the fact that people have done a lot of really kind things for me.
Mm-hmm.
One kind thing is you didn't move away.
hey.
You're like, guess what? I got into school. I'm not leaving. And I was like, yes. I don't have to find another roommate. No, you've done a lot of very kind things for me over the years. You and Jessica have both taken care of me when I was sick, which was very kind, because I thought, like, you know, once you move out of your family home, people stop taking care of you. Like, was the thought. Yeah. But I feel like this household kind of doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I've had lots of people support me, and like emotionally, I've had people help me out financially. I can't pinpoint any one specific thing that I think is the most kind, just because like at the time it changed.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So lots of kind things have happened right at the time that I needed that kind thing to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I can't really pick one particular thing.
Mm-hmm. That's not good enough. I'm so the nicest sorry. Thing I've ever done for you. I'm joking.
Tell me three things I've done for you.
You got me my new tattoo for my birthday.
That was for your birthday.
And I love it.
Yeah, it is a tough question. And like, similarly, like you've done very kind things for me.
Yeah. Sure.
Jessica's done very kind things for me. I think it's interesting though, like kind is done for me, like done for you. It's like I am a person who doesn't allow people to do kind things for me. Mm-hmm. I get, why are you doing that?
That's why I clean your room when you're away.
Exactly. Like that is.
That's a lie. You'd let me do it while you're here.
I let you do it when I'm here when I don't want to do it myself. So like that's definitely one thing is that about me is like I don't. Mm-hmm. accept that, and it's obviously something that I'm working on. And I more think of like really kind things people have said to me.
Okay. Was that an option?
No, I'm making it one.
How dare you.
Make my own rules now.
I'm your boss. I said no.
And actually like the other day, like I cried at work. Mm-hmm. Because like one of the people I get to work with like said really kind things to me. Mm-hmm. Of like how much gratitude they have. Mm-hmm. For our friendship.
Yeah.
And I was like, what do you mean?
And words of affirmation are just up there for you.
Apparently I just like become a big bubbly baby. I'll just start crying if you say nice things to me in a good way. Because there was a time where like people would say nice things about me and I'd be like, you're lying. And now I don't do that anymore.
So proud of you.
Healing.
Growth.
Yeah.
We love to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I say kind things about you.
No, I don't think you say any kind things about me.
Never. I say she beats me. that's all I kept saying yesterday at dinner. I was like, she beats me. And then she tells me I bruise like a peach and she still hits me. Okay, I got one.
Okay.
Another sappy one. What is with this? This is terrible. Of all the people you spend time with, who brings out your best qualities? Quit throwing them away. We're going to have only three questions left.
I need you to answer the question first.
How dare you? I mean, you could have just answered the question, and then while I'm answering the question, you could flip through the card.
Okay, say again.
Of the people you spend time with, who brings out your best qualities?
Oh. That's an interesting one.
Mm-hmm.
That brings out my best qualities?
Yeah.
I'm going to use a cop-out. I'm going to say my siblings.
Okay.
Yeah.
Your younger siblings?
My younger siblings.
Because I was doing like, honey, I've
no,
seen
Jasmine
you
does
Jess.
Not bring out my best qualities.
I was like, I've seen the Mexican standoffs. Like, I would not say those are best qualities. But no. Yes, your younger siblings, for sure.
Yeah, bring out my best qualities. Yep. They're my babies.
Mm-hmm. And can't say my younger siblings, they don't do that.
They do not bring out your best qualities either.
Not at all. None of my siblings. who brings out my best qualities?
I couldn't even tell you.
It's me. No, it's not. my best qualities.
But the like the youth you work with,
they try my patience. But they definitely bring out like my teacher side a mm-hmm. lot more. Best qualities. I get too comfortable with people really quickly, and then like the best qualities disappear.
Jesus.
Like, working with families for sure though, like mm-hmm. that tends to bring out like my better side.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, definitely working with the youth for sure tends to bring out like those qualities that like I've honed.
Mm-hmm.
And really, really worked at. And so yeah, probably them. Because
I say Clover.
as well. Clover brings out my, she brings out my loving side.
Yeah.
That and the small children, like, I'm not normally, like, very physically affectionate, but then, like, you get, like, a baby or the cat in front of me, and I'm like, come here. I'll eat you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my nieces and nephews, for sure. Yeah. Because my siblings, I'll beat them up. Yeah. They beat me up.
Let's be honest. Bruised like a peach.
I bruised like a peach. But I think it also just depends on the situation, too. Right? If we're in, like, a really, like, tough or stressful situation, oh, my God, I get activated. And I'm like, move aside. I got this. Like,
yeah.
But, yeah. No, definitely, like, working with kids and youth.
Yeah.
I became A-plus teacher. I will sing as much as you want me to sing. And I will be as kind and gentle and very positive as possible. Yeah. I work messing with the babies sometimes.
Okay, this one's a real next fun question. One. I like this one. What is the most unusual job you have a secret hankering to try out?
Interesting. Unusual?
Yeah. What's the most unusual job you have a secret hankering to try out? Also, I've never seen hankering spelled before, so
is it h-a-n-k-e-r-i-n-g?
You bet.
I know how to spell. Yes. hankering unusual.
I think this is a great question.
Is a great question that I've never thought of before.
No, not at all.
An unusual job. I feel like most of the jobs that I've had a hankering to do are not considered unusual.
Okay.
Library.
Yep.
Not unusual and completely not unsurprising to people.
But no, you just say what you wanted to be when you were younger.
I mean, I went through a plethora of things, but you just want me to say the job that I thought I wanted to do.
Because it's shocking.
I wanted to be a massage therapist for quite a while. I wanted to be a masseuse.
Yeah.
Was a job that I thought, because I gave very good foot rubs, and you told me that I should get into the field. Makes good money. Honestly, that's true. I think I missed my calling, but yeah. Hey, I might fall back into it.
You never know.
You never know. I do have strong hands. Except I can't get the classical jars open.
Nobody
can. I struggle to get the pasta jar open, but...
Oh my goodness.
Crack a foot like no other.
Yep.
That's not what you're supposed to do. That's
no, that's not very gentle. I would say, okay, you know where my first thought went? Carmen Sandiego. And I was like, Jesus Christ. I think I want to be a spy. I want to be a spy. yeah, espionage.
I want to be a PI. Yeah. Investigator.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Mal and I watch so much crew crime.
True crime.
True crime.
It's okay, you got it.
And my degree is in justice studies, and we look at these people, and like, we can solve these crimes.
Yeah. Definitely can.
Yeah.
I'm like, is it because of the way they play out and plot out the show that we're able to figure it out?
Before them?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, obviously. Obviously, they already have the answer. By the end of it. But even I went, they're having a manic episode. Like, I don't know.
Like, yeah, like, it's that guy. Look at him.
Yeah. And then there's just me being like, well, I obviously know it's that guy because they keep talking about him, but he hasn't shown up for the interview. So either he's A, dead, or B, he's in jail. Like, it's one or the other.
Yeah, apparently it's either espionage for me or solving crimes.
All right, Detective Kate.
Mm-hmm.
In what ways are you peculiar around money?
Oh. That's interesting.
You're just making a small pile over there. I'm going to have to go all through all of those later.
I know we are. In what ways am I peculiar about money?
Around money.
Around money.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting wording. Like, not like about.
Yeah.
But around.
It still means the same thing.
Yeah. I think my relationship to wealth has changed
mm-hmm.
from what it used to be.
Yeah.
And so before, I just thought of like, in the in between of like surviving and thriving
mm-hmm.
with the dollar.
Yeah.
And now like really viewing the dollar now as like a tool.
Yeah.
To be able to access different things.
Yeah.
So I think that's how I'm peculiar maybe around money is okay. like now seeing it like as a resource and feeling more comfortable with mm-hmm. it and like actually becoming more curious about money.
Yeah.
And like wanting to learn more about like stocks and yeah. investments and real estate.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of financial insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still struggling financially and trying to work on that, but I have like this peculiar thing where like I stress about money and not having enough of it, and yet when I have it, because I'm stressed about it, I tend to spend it even though I shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I'm working on and trying to like find a better way to cope in relation to money. But it's a slippery slope.
Mm-hmm.
And something that's going to take me a lot longer to figure out how to navigate, unfortunately. But we're baby steps. We're trying. We're trying.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The next question. What would be the first thing you would do if you won the lottery?
Pay off my debt.
Yep.
Yep.
There's no thinking about that. Just gone. Like, yes.
Yep.
Oh, that's just sad.
See, it's easy.
Hey, in what way has life treated you unfairly? Let's not do that right now. Slippery slope.
Okay. The first thing I would do if I won the lottery would be... Yeah. Definitely to donate a large portion of it
mm-hmm.
and then definitely put it into like some kind of trust.
Yeah.
And then definitely invest in some real estate and also some land back.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just like do my best to take care of things that are within my control
yeah.
and people who I was like, that are in my control, but I was like, no.
The cult hasn't started yet. I need to just simmer down.
The community around me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, I would pay off, like, once my debt's paid off, like, I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. So I definitely would be putting money into trusts for the nieces and the nephews.
Mm-hmm.
Just to ensure, like, just even if they just have school paid off, if that's something they plan to do. If not, they can put it towards whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think it also depends on how much money I win, on how I would spread it.
My favorite thing ever is when you and I went to go buy a lotto ticket.
Oh my God. And we're like, I don't know how to do this.
And I was like, one lotto ticket, please. And the lady's like, yeah, I'm going to need to see some ID.
And we're like, it's okay. We're almost 30. We just never bought a lotto ticket before. And then she's like, yeah, I wouldn't know how to order it either.
And
I
was like, and she's like, that's exactly what you say when you're underage trying to buy a lotto yeah. ticket.
I'd like one lotto ticket, please.
Oh my gosh.
And they were like, oh, I didn't know it was only like $5.
Yeah.
Whoops. Okay. Question.
Wait.
If you had to this is something. If you had to choose between a happy home life and a mediocre career, or a successful career and a mediocre home life, which would you choose?
Oh my goodness. Okay, this is a tough one because, mm-hmm. like, I am a Cancer sun.
Yep.
But I'm also a Virgo rising.
Yep.
So these are, like, my two... These are my two things. Well, it'll be like clarifying questions, like how mediocre is the home life? But you don't need
why
to answer.
Why does this sound like? Oh, would you rather? And then I get to control the adjustment of the questions. These ones don't work like that.
I know.
I didn't pose the question. I'm just reading it.
I think.
Do you want me to go?
Yeah, you
can contemplate it more.
Yeah.
Can waffle about it.
I'm gonna waffle away.
As much as my Leo rising kind of hates the decision I'm making right now, my Taurus Venus is like, yeah, bitch. I would definitely choose a happy home life and a mediocre career versus a successful career and a mediocre home life. Just because, I don't know, I feel like it would give me something to look forward to at the end of the workday. Yeah. Not only that, but like, kind of already live a mediocre career life. So, and a very happy home life.
I feel
and
the opposite.
I do enjoy it.
I'm kidding. That was just an opportunity.
My heart. I can't wait till we record these so that everyone can see my dramatic hand gestures.
I know, me too.
I don't know. I just think, like, I think that's what it would make my Chichma happy.
Why?
Yeah.
Oh.
Chichma means heart.
Yes, I'm
like, close. I can't see my hand gesture.
Yeah.
Or no Lekwungen.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. This is like such a hard decision.
Don't overthink it. It's not, this is, you're not tied to it. This isn't concrete. You can snap decision. Just tell me. Go. You have 5 seconds to live. Choose one.
Oh my goodness. I guess I would also pick a happy home life and a mediocre career.
You're a liar.
I'm such a liar. I'd pick a successful career and a mediocre home life. Like, absolutely.
You're like, I would never be home so soon.
Yeah, absolutely.
My family would travel with me.
I put my baby on my back in the Amounty.
You can't wear an Amounty everywhere.
There's summertime ones.
Okay, because like, you're going to sweat your butt off.
Yeah, no, I would definitely pick a successful career in a mediocre home life.
It's like, don't lie to me. You're like, why can't I have both?
Honestly.
Garbage.
It is. It's some like patriarchal.
Yeah.
Nonsense.
I think white people wrote these. It's fine.
Mine is related though.
Oh God.
Yeah. Sorry. Are you more attracted to a nomadic or settled life?
Me personally,
yeah,
settled. I lived a nomadic life for a while there. I think my childhood has like traumatized me from a lot of things, and I was like, I don't want to move around anymore. Like, I like to stay. I want to stay. Mm-hmm. I want to build roots. I want to have proper community.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're like moving with community, you can't really have as in depth a community. Like, you can and you can't. Like, it's got its limits,
mm-hmm.
right? Oh, brutal. What about you? I said, oh, brutal, because I read the question.
Yeah.
We're keeping it, though.
Oh, good. See, because I feel like I've, like, split up between, like, living a nomadic life of, like, living in different parts of Canada mm-hmm. and then living in different countries. Mm-hmm. That feel very, like, adaptable.
Mm-hmm. Well, you are Inuk.
I am the Inuk. And like, settled is nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I do see like why to do that.
Yeah.
And I do think of like along the lines of like having kids and stuff like that, like definitely having more of a settled life. I think I just don't want to do that so soon. I think there's a couple more places I want to see.
Mm-hmm.
Before making those decisions.
In the sense of, like, you want to see them just in case you want to live there? Or... Because I'm like, honey, you can still travel. You can have a settled life and still go around.
Yeah, but... And also, like, your priorities change, though, right? Like...
Yeah, once you pop out babies, everything changes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe I do want to live in the south of France.
With your 8 kids?
Yeah.
On the farm?
Yeah. With my un petit chat.
Un petit chat. I told you, Petunia's not allowed to travel outside of Canada. She's on her no-fly list.
She's one of the most wanted criminals.
She is. She is. She's broken many hearts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was a really wishy-washy answer.
Well, I think, I don't know, this is too, like, concrete. Like, it feels too concrete. I don't
know. I'm afraid to commit to the answer.
That leads to my next question. How do you sabotage your own possibilities of success?
Oh my god. I don't know if we're going to release this episode.
Maybe not. We'll see. Just lives on your computer.
Yeah. How do I sabotage? What again?
How do you sabotage your own possibilities of success?
Oh, definitely my procrastination station.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big one.
It's always a fun one.
Yeah.
My favorite. I also, unfortunately, suffer from that occasionally. Big one for me. Surprisingly, someone who's done a couple sessions on teaching people about imposter syndrome, it still lingers around, but like obviously teaching it, I understand that that's a completely normal thing.
Yeah.
I think I've done pretty well recently of not letting things hold me back too much. Sometimes there's a few things that I should have let me hold me back a little bit, or thought about it in a better way or gone about it differently, but trying not to let anything hold me back and being like, you know what, it'll always make itself right in the end.
The course correction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, money isn't real. So like,
this is true.
So that being like something that shouldn't hold me back. Being like, I should apply to school. Not let that hold me back.
Yeah. Because if it's meant for you, it's gonna
happen.
Yeah.
It'll happen.
Exactly.
That was what people kept saying, was like, you wouldn't be here if you weren't meant to be here.
Exactly.
You're right. You're right. I'm being dramatic. Next card.
Always. Yeah, what are you going to do about it?
I'll fight you from over on the side of the couch.
Okay, this one's a good one.
Okay.
If you were in a city and had to choose between a good meal and a bad hotel, or a bad meal and a good hotel, which would you prefer?
A good meal and a bad hotel. Just because, like, you know what? Having a bad hotel is always, like, a really great story. Unless I, like, I don't know, get murdered. But I'll tell you, I'll haunt you and tell you about it. But also just, like, I don't know. Food is just, like, right there for me.
Right.
And I would give anything for a good meal.
This is true. You do love food.
I do. And if I don't get it. Imagine me getting a bad meal. You've seen me get a bad meal before.
I'd rather not go through that again.
Yeah. So I'd rather stay in a bad hotel than have a bad meal.
That's fair.
Especially with my sensitive tummy.
Ugh, right. Jesus. Okay, so I have stayed in a bad hotel before when I was like 12 years old.
Yeah.
On a trip. We were like in Golden, and I remember like sleeping on like a floor. I just and with the amount of travel I do now, good hotel every single time.
Okay.
Because I already have to deal with terrible plane food. You know?
Hey, at least you can eat on the plane.
It's barely food.
It's something.
So I'll take the cozy bed in the big bathtub, because at least I'll be clean and well rested to have my terrible food.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm already always tired. So I'd rather be full.
I swear to God, you're malnourished. Okay.
I'm not malnourished.
Yeah, you are.
I eat lots. Should have seen me with that carrot cake earlier.
No, you shouldn't have.
Oh, I need another card. Just leans back.
Yeah. Should this be our last one?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't even know where we're at. Check the time. Oh,
it's been like 40 minutes.
Whoops. Back to me. What's been, this is one, a good one to end on. What's been the most useful career advice or experience you've ever had?
Ooh, that is a good one. Mm-hmm. Also, actually, I think we should end on this one.
Okay. Well,
it's funny.
Okay. Got it.
Okay. So what's the most useful advice I've been given?
Useful career advice or experience you've ever had.
CWY. Going on the internship.
Do you want to like say what the acronym was for?
Canada World Youth.
Thank you.
No longer exists.
Yeah.
And they used to run the International Indigenous Youth Internship Program.
That's when you went to Columbia, right?
That's when I went to Columbia in 2016. Yes. And I don't, without that, I would not be where I am now.
No, that was like your turning point.
Yeah. That's when I got my life right.
Yeah. And we weren't as close.
No.
We were not as close, and then all of a sudden, on your trip,
yeah,
we would talk every day until we stopped talking for the rest of the trip because weird stuff was happening for you.
Yeah.
But then, like, we hung out all the time when you got back.
Yeah.
Yeah. You did some really amazing things down there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I learned a lot about myself.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I love about going overseas or going to different parts of Canada and whatever, mm-hmm. like... Yes, you go with a group or you go by yourself, like depending on what the program is or why you're traveling. But it always gives you like this like very intentional, vast space for you to like look in the mirror and look at the things that you have healed from and things that you continually need to heal from. And it gives you that like perspective because you're so far removed of your everyday normal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think if I had that internship program, things would have been different. And yeah, maybe not for the better.
There was a lot of culture shock on the way back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't do any reintegration very well.
No.
No.
That was really hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because that was when my nephew was living with me.
Yeah.
The one time you called and I was like half asleep.
Yeah.
Woke the both of us up and I was like, Betty, no. I think for me, honestly, like as much as it was like major burnout, it was still like a very great experience, like doing the like working at Kitco and like learning, like going up through the different levels and just like getting my first experience at being like a lead and like admin, at being a boss for a large group of people, and like starting to see that like I can do it, might not be my favorite, but I can do it. And like knowing that I'm much better like when it's a slightly smaller groups, learning where like my capacity is at and like identifying in me and like being like I'm at my level right now and like I need a break. And starting to acknowledge that and being able to put that into my work now as a somewhat boss of being like, okay, this is what I can give to you today. This is what I expect of you today. And like learning to navigate relationships and how to approach different people where they're at, as well as like working on my communication skills in that kind of a setting. So I think that was ideal in like learning that credentials aren't everything and that there's more people can offer outside of paperwork.
Yeah.
Right. And learning that like putting people in certain positions kind of thing to watch them thrive.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's a great one. Okay. This one's really funny.
Take us home.
Okay. If we asked the childhood version of you your job they wanted to do, what would they say?
Well, the masseuse was me more in middle school.
Mm-hmm.
So child me wanted to be a teacher.
Aww. Yeah. Full circle. Mm-hmm. I wonder if I'll ever get to do my childhood dream job.
Oh God, what was your? Oh, what was it again?
I wanted to be an archaeologist.
That's right.
I was
Indiana Jones over here.
Yeah, I was 7 years old.
Yeah,
telling people I'm going to be an archaeologist.
You know what? I think you could get there.
Yeah, Maybe like later in life.
Yeah. It's like there's some ties, right?
Yep.
To geography. Yep. So
you just also have to get your geology in there. This person was going around telling people I was getting a master's in geology.
I corrected myself a lot of the time. It took me a second, and then I went, no, that's the wrong one. Geography.
Maybe later in life, you'll become a masseuse, and I'll be an archaeologist.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
All right.
Well, friends, I hope you enjoyed this episode.
Are we just going to do also the regular closing, too? Where can they find us?
Oh, on Spotify, Apple, Pocket Podcast?
I think so.
I think Google now?
Oh my gosh.
I think also like at www.spillingtea.ca.
Please check out our website. It's beautiful.
It's so beautiful.
And also you please follow us on Instagram at @spillinglabtea_trees, as well as you can now find us on TikTok.
Oh yeah, you can.
At @spillinglabtea_trees. As usual, it's been a pleasure.
And I hope you all enjoyed hearing something different.
And us. Also a little weird.
All right. See you later.
See you later, Namoltis.